Blog Talk Radio.
Out there, all you American turkeys, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Yes, the last bastion of freedom before you cross over into the netherworld. Let's see, we got something here came from an American, the blog site, the New American, and it says the editors are top picks. Thanksgiving and the blessings of liberty. Thanksgiving is a day set aside to express our gratitude to our Creator. And for your atheist, that is Bo Pio. And among the many things for which we should be thankful, and liberty is one of the most important, and we're still living off the legacy of the greatest generation. And when that get out of jail free card gets crinkled, we're all going to be in trouble. And right now, we have Obama bin Laden has declared that he is closing the American embassy in the Vatican. He says because he can't defend it. Yeah, but it's okay for Benghazi. I had Benghazi covered all the way. Yeah, well, we sure could have used that fleet you took into Africa on your safari, huh? Off the coast of Benghazi. And Buona Macuba? Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, here's another blog. Obamacare's insurance cancellations. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because of communist Obamacare, as many as 80 million Americans could receive health insurance cancellation notices. I hate when that bell goes off. And just in time, it breaks my train of thought. Just in time for the midterm elections. Yeah, yippee. Yeah. You know what? I think that everybody who gets thrown out of office in this election should also be beaten up. Here, take this with you. Iran attacks Obama's spin on historic deal. It's a hysterical deal. That's what it is. It's not a historical deal. Hysterical. Critics express alarm. Yeah, which critics? Like Netanyahu, the Israeli Knesset, the Majli in Saudi Arabia? Yeah. Hello, Israel. Yes, listen, this is the Saudi. Don't say we're calling. We want to get together. You need a few bases, and you want to kick the crap out of those Iranians. Listen, we're with you. We are always with you, even from the days of Egypt. Yeah, that's what's coming, man. Oh, speaking of days of Egypt, happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah, Festival of Lights. I was just reading, I don't know if I'll find it, how many Jewish guys have fought with George Washington. And I remember reading a story about a Jewish synagogue in Connecticut that raised a bunch of money for George to keep him going. So, and guess what? There were two brothers who fought at the Battle of Brandywine, and they were Jewish. And guess what their last name was? You ready? Can you take it? If you're a Democrat, you're going to die. Bush! Bush! Solomon Bush! This Bush has been plaguing us for years. Yeah, I don't want to see Jeb as a presidential candidate. Nice, Jeb. Jeb, buy a guitar and learn a new trade. Yeah, we don't want to see you. Don't want to see you. Ever since you let Clinton come into your town and drag out Ilian Gonzalez and drug him and steal him all the way up to Maryland, put him on an Air Force base, and deny this Senator Bob Smith the right to go see the kid because he was shot up with all kinds of drugs. Yes, and Geraldo Rivera from Nothing But Communists, NBC, at that time, said, a boy belongs with his father. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. You can be sold out in a heartbeat here. You ain't got a chance. You know, there were more slaves in America today than there were here before the Emancipation Proclamation. There are 10 times as many slaves here today than there were when Lincoln freed them. Well, Lincoln didn't free them. You know who freed them? 600,000 Americans who died. Yeah, we had a little property argument with our brothers in the Southland, and most of our brothers in the Southland didn't own slaves. They were fighting for states' rights, and they weren't fighting to keep their slaves. They had no slaves. They were poor as church mice. I wonder why they use that expression, poor as church mice. Yeah, I know why, because I see the collection in my church. If it goes around twice, you couldn't hear a pin drop. It goes around the second time it goes around, it's faster than a Frisbee. And a Frisbee holds more. Unbelievable. Let me give you another tune, and then we'll set up to do something. I'm going to give you a nice Thanksgiving tune. There is a lot of a debate among girls and boys today about hooking up and how it is so great, but the end result is everybody feels used. Yeah, use me like a woman. Okay, so you know what? We're going to cheer you up. We're going to find your true love, because that's what you're missing. You're missing the true love of the 50s. Everybody loved everybody.
A certain smile, a certain face. Suddenly you know who I'm.
may have my intelligence information mixed up, but I'll give you what I got as I unravel it. There is a drug coming out of Puerto Rico that is supposed to be real deadly. And there is a synthetic marijuana, a cigarette, that is killing people. So you got to be careful what you're playing with. You got to know. Try it out on the dog first. The one drug sells for $60 for 4 ounces of liquid. And they take the liquid and they cut it and they dry it. And when they get finished making the product, it gives you a profit of $7,000. And what it is, it's a what they use to dope up horses with. So that's the one drug, and then the other one is this synthetic marijuana. And there's another one called Spice. Have you heard about that one? You got to watch out, man. You know, you don't want to be the first test monkey. Try proven drugs. You know, if you're going to experiment with something that has a track record, like a rum and coke. Yeah. That's what you do. And this way you won't have to go to the morgue. You know, who wants to go to the morgue on a Friday night? So here we got a story. Will Israel nuke Iran? Oh, no, they can't do it. Obama told them he has to know about it. He has to approve it. Hello, President Obama. Hey, listen, you remember that city, Natan in Iran? Yeah, it's gone. Oh, I just want to tell you about it, you know, so you know. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, you're going to tell them, right, Obama? They're on the honor system. Let me tell you something, man. You got a lot to learn. And you know what? Everybody's going to pay for your mistakes but you. Obama closes the Vatican embassy. Yes. Today he announced this morning, I just got out of bed and my wife says, Obama is saving $1 million. He's closing the Vatican. Oh, man. Do you know how many ACLU lawyers go into St. Peter's and write down the registration numbers of all the gold and the crosses? Make sure you get a picture of that one when the auction comes. Yeah, we're in trouble, folks. And the moral of the story is, first we'll get rid of the Saturday people. Iran will do that for us now that we sold Israel out. Next comes the Sunday people. Welcome to the Muslim Brotherhood of Obama bin Lenin. And never forget that John McCain and Lindsey Graham Cracker both work for Obama. They are his errand boys. The first Islamo-Camo is Obama bin Lenin, the only president elected by fools who hate the country he pretends to come from. He hates the country that he pretends to come from. He took one-tenth of the U.S. fleet on safari to Africa, but had no ships for Benghazi. He took one-tenth. An aircraft carrier does not travel alone. He took one-tenth of the U.S. fleet on safari to Africa and never visited the poor with a bag of rice. Does he consider the Pope to be his competition? Is he trying to knock out his competition? His Communist Party, formerly the Demo-Camos, is well entrenched, and the Constitution does not apply to them. And a big communist named Pivens has said that under the radar, Obama is seeding the government with his operatives. This is the party that gives America unarmed Marines in war zones, unprotected ambassadors in war zones. Never rescue any American that could cost you votes. The only fight-back tool we have left is impeachment. And that's the tool we got to use. 3 more years of this guy and the country will be up in flames. And that applies not only to Eric Holder, but to every politician who votes communist, including judges. We're going to see a test case coming up. If it goes the way the first test case come up on Obamacare, it's time to impeach a Supreme Court, the judges. We have to use the tools that the Constitution gave us. So we must win the Senate and keep the House. And based on the scandal rate with more to follow, we are now in a revolution of fighting a coup de grace. Everybody will say that's not the word. It's supposed to be coup d'etat. No, coup d'etat is a government takeover. A coup de grace is a bullet in the back of the head, and that's what we're going to get when this guy gets finished winning the country over to the hammer and sickle. So the only fight back tool we have left is impeachment. Yeah. That applies not only to Eric Holder, but every politician. Do not wait for them to hurt you for 4 to 6 years or 2 to 4 years. Get them now. We must win the Senate and keep the House. We have a lot of work to do. We are the first country in the world ever to vote itself out of existence. We are just waking up to discover that issue. Let's start with impeachment and boycotts. When you hear a talk show host say, I'm against boycotts, you know what that means? Simmer down. We can't have any trouble here. Boycotts are good. Just ask the boys in Selma. They had no other alternative but a boycott, and the boycotts worked. The pocketbook is the king. And you know who knows that? The communists, because they use boycotts all the time. I mean, they got Glenn Beck removed, threatening all his sponsors, right? That's what we were told anyway. We have a lot of work to do. Everything this president does is a flip the bird in your face. From unarmed Marines to muzzled chaplains, I can't tell you how much I feel so upset about the fact that he has Marines in Afghanistan ordered not to carry weapons on base because there are Afghan soldiers there and they feel discriminated against. So they backshot 51 Americans. And those Americans died because of this stupid rule. And I'll tell you something, nobody would ever, maybe I'm imagining it, but if somebody told me I'm on a base with Afghanis and they have weapons and I don't, I would say, you know what? Give me my dishonorable discharge. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And the rest of these guys should come with me because they'll all be alive in jail. The communist side has known for 50 years and worked on us for 50 years. We're just waking up to find out that we're out of business. We have a lot of work to do. Let's start with impeachments and boycotts. Everything this president does is a flipped bird in your face, from unarmed Marines to muzzled chaplains to IRS intimidation and communist fines. A moment of silence is not a moment of prayer. See, that's the beginning of the muzzling by the Muslims. They muzzle you. They play on your heartstrings. You know, you might offend somebody that's not in the same religion as you. So why don't you shut your mouth and let us rule this country? You can't do that. I don't want to see a football player get arrested for the Hail Mary pass. A moment of silence is not a moment of prayer. And this blogger tonight is in the memory, is dedicated to the memory of Corporal Buckley and his brothers, who were killed playing a basketball in a compound by Afghanis, by an Afghani T-boy who was the sex slave of an Afghani commander. That's not what happens when you have sex. It corrupts your mind. When you see two combat-ready Marines holding umbrellas, that's a flipped bird. A flipped bird leads to a tossed eagle. Relieving 200 combat officers, starting with General McChrystal. Don't forget that General Petraeus and General Allen set up the relieving of General Hamm over the phone as he was about to send the cavalry to Benghazi, the stand-down orders to an admiral heading to Benghazi. the betrayal of Smith and Woods on the Benghazi rooftop as they waited for an F-16, a flyover, the sequestration of witnesses to the crime of cowardice in the face of the enemy, the double signing of non-discrimination and non-disclosures to silence the victims, proof beyond a reasonable doubt that this president hurts this country. I realized it when I saw him destroy the oil drilling capacity of the USA and then lend taxpayer money to Brazil to drill oil for China while refusing to allow the Keystone Pipeline. And drilling of oil fields owned by the American people. Our $17 trillion debt could be paid off in 5 years and a future generations fund begun. Instead, American men are working 3 jobs, American mothers are working 4 jobs to support 2 other families they don't even know. This communist government must be reduced by 80%, or soon we will all be slaves and not too happy about it. The Democrat Party has relocated to the Rhino Party, and the new party of Obama bin Laden is the Communist Party. New York now has a communist mayor, and the USSA now has a communist president and Duma. Impeachment is our only self-defense. We can't wait for rigged elections. Stalin said it matters not who votes, but who counts the votes. Do you remember after the last election, military absentee ballots turned up in Afghanistan in an ammo dump, and the boxes were marked, the cartons were marked ammo, and nobody thought to check? Let me wish all the great American mainstream people a very happy Hanukkah, a blessed Merry Christmas, happy Holy Days, and the last line in my granddaughter's Pledge of Allegiance, which says, "And deliver us from evil, amen." And welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. Let's drive them nuts. And I also have a picture of Obama and Putin in a bathtub with 2 glasses of wine. And the caption says, "A Putin to run for president, USSA." Campaign slogan, "I'm less of a communist than the other guy." And at the bottom of the bathtub, it says, "The brothers Communistov, we take tubby for the poor. Comrade, it is tubby time. Thank you for Poland. Thank you for Syria." And under that, I have a picture of a gramophone and a dog looking into it, and it says, "His master's voice." And I have a picture of a lemon with a hammer and sickle on it, and it says, "Obama receives the Order of Lemon." You want to take a long shot? 1,000,000 to 1?
Chances that you were 1,000,000 to 1.
And what are we going to do next? Let me see what we got. We got... Boom, boom, boom. We did that one already. The Order of Lemon, we did that. We did that. And let's see what this one says. Same thing, The Order of Lemon. Okay, let's see if we can find some good stuff. No medical exam, lock-in coverage, Chinese medical insurance. Yeah, you have to go to Mexico now, the doctor. Yeah, unbelievable. Gun registration leads to confiscation. This is bad news. I mean, you know the reason we're still alive is Obama didn't seize the guns. He can't kill us because we still got our guns. Gun confiscation begin in New York, aided by existing a firearms registry. In the wake of New York's latest gun control law, the police department is now sending out notices to registered gun owners demanding that they give up their firearms, clear proof that gun registration leads to outright confiscations. The notice provides gun owners who possess firearms now prohibited under New York's unconstitutional SAFE Act the options to either surrender their firearms to the police, remove them from the city limits or otherwise render them inoperable. Read more. Anyone that registers or turns in their guns will surely become a slave for those that have guns. As Lenin put it, one man with a gun can control 100 without one. God bless the Republic. If that's true, that is real bad news, because that means one day there's going to be blood in the streets. And I got to tell you something. If you ever watched the invasion of Normandy, you know the first guys that hit the beach take the greatest casualties. And in any war or any confrontation, the guys that are in on the first squared off a fight take the most casualties. So, and that's how you learn. You see your buddies getting wasted, and you see the mistakes that they're making. And usually naivete is the main contributor. You just can't believe what's happening to you, like the guy walking down the street and all of a sudden his head hits the sidewalk because he's been polar bear. Back in September, the New York Times promoted Bill de Blasio's mayoral candidacy with an editorial titled, "Don't Fear the Squeegee Man." The editorial informed readers that crime would get worse under de Blasio because policing is far better than it used to be, thanks to innovations by Mayor David Dinkins. What, are you kidding me? The Times was not being sarcastic. Under the policing innovations of Mayor Dinkins, the annual murder rate in New York rose to an all-time high. By the way, polar bearing has been around since 1992. So if you think this is just a regular routine, this is a rite of passage. Crime rose to an all-time high of 2,245 in Dinkins' first year in office. After 4 years of hard work, the murder rate had dropped about 10% to the merely astronomical 1995 per year. Click here to read the full article. This is by Ann Coulter. This guy is bad news, man. This is like he's the Leventi Berry of New York. It's going to be real sad. You have no idea. And, you know, a lot of people are moving into borderline neighborhoods, you know, because of gentrification or gingification, whatever they call it. They're going to be the first casualties. All the yuppies that are singing Kumbaya, they're going to get the Jane Fonda workout. Back in September, the New York Times, "Don't Fear the Squeegee Man." Let's see. In Mayor Giuliani's very first year in office, the murder rate fell 20%. The Times acknowledged the dramatic drop in crime with an article titled "New York City Crime Falls, But Just Why Is a Mystery." by Giuliani's last year in office, there were only 714 murders in the entire city, a drop of 64% from Dinky's personal best. By continuing Giuliani's aggressive crime policies, Mayor Bloomberg got the murder rate down to 419 in a city of 8 million people. But at the Times, they think we've been living in hell since Giuliani's election, and the most urgent priority for the next mayor is to get back to Dinkins, New York. They're not alone. The New York Times endorsed the Joseph Stalin, and the New York Times endorsed Mao Zedong. There was an editor at the Times, his name was Durante, and he lied to the American people and told them everything in Russia is nice and quiet. In the meantime, the Russians were murdering 12 million Ukrainians. And by the way, Russia just took back the Ukraine with a $20 billion bribe. And now the Ukrainians are back under the wing of Mother Russia. Richard Goldstein of The Village Voice. The Village Voice is the one who got General McChrystal on Nothing But Communist, NBC's Hardball. I feel less safe today in New York City than I did 20 years ago. That was a position Goldstein developed after taking a vow to never leave his apartment, allow visitors, read a newspaper, watch TV, or listen to the radio. A couple of weeks ago, the Times ran another item downplaying the coming crime surge. They say it's up 20%, by the way. Under Mayor de Blasio, and this guy hasn't even started yet, former hedge fund manager Neil Barsky wrote a column mocking his fellow one percenters for fretting about the new mayor with this advice: calm down. I find few bombs as soothing as being told to calm down. Reluctantly, you know what plays in my mind when I think of that? The hijacking of the flight that went into the ground in Pennsylvania. There was one European on the plane who tried to talk the boys about out of rushing the cockpit, like everything was going to be okay. Yeah, no, we don't do that, man. We know the game now. Once we know the game, we know how to play it. Reluctantly, Barsky admitted 17 times that he is a very rich man. As he explained, he too enjoys the city having been turned into a millionaire's playground and having a mayor who is one of us. Bloomberg, not one of me, Buster. He sniffed that he found this affluent angst more than a bit overwrought. They have learned nothing and forgotten nothing. Liberal zealots view de Blasio as a breath of fresh air because he stuck in policies of the 60s. That's when Americans were assured by brain-dead liberals that if we could just improve criminal self-esteem, crime would disappear. You'll see. The result, the violent crime rate quadrupled. I was watching Fox Business tonight, and they had on two attorneys that were defending a lawsuit against businesses who are screening for criminals, and the lawsuit does not want the criminal record to be made part of the interview. And I just wonder if... And those two people have children, and when they're screening for a babysitter, do they ask the question, "Oh, you're not a pedophile, are you?" Yeah. Liberal activists just waited out Giuliani and Bloomberg. Now they're ready to retry all the old ideas. Mayor-elect de Blasio recently met with convicted criminals to get their views on policing policies. Wow, look at de Blasio's new ideas. The ex-cons actually complained to de Blasio that they didn't like being watched so much. The left simply refuses to believe that locking up criminals has any effect on crime and insists we just need to explain to them that voting crime, violent felonies is wrong, that committing violent felonies is wrong. New York Times headline from August 10, 2000. Number in prison grows despite crime reduction. It is strange because liberals totally understand cause and effect when it comes to, well, nothing. suggesting that the 1%, such as himself, are the most terrified of the de Blasio mayorality, Barsky claimed that the massively rich have been the primary beneficiaries of record low crime rates in New York. Those who can afford its housing, attend concerts in Lincoln Center, eat in fancy restaurants, and pay for parking to boot. That could be said only by someone who has never been the victim of a violent crime. Could somebody please mug this guy? The rich in New York are always the last to experience a spike in crime. They may not even notice when the murder, rape, and robbery rates go through the roof under de Blasio. For the very reason Barsky names, they can afford expensive neighborhoods, paid parking, and concerts at Lincoln Center. It is the poor and middle-class New Yorkers, unprotected by doormen, chauffeurs, and ticket takers, who will be the first victims of de Blasio's innovative new ideas on policing. You know what it's like to be mugged? You have any idea? How would you like to be 80 years old, served your country, in very good shape for your age? You have a colostomy bag, and you come out of your apartment, and a guy drags you into an exit, you know, the stairwell exit, and he stomps you, and he robs you, tears the wallet out of your pocket, and he's gone. And he's big, and he's black. Oh, no, another racial incident that happens. How would you like to be coming home from work with your paycheck? You're a trucker, and you're in good shape, and you're a veteran, and you get jumped by about five guys, and they're all black, and they give you a beating that takes you to the hospital, and they rob you. Where is the protection for those guys? You think they would have had a little better chance if they had a gun?
Can't have guns. It's against the law. Only criminals can have guns.
It's the poor and middle class. And if you ever want to get a gun, the easiest way to do it is buy it from a criminal. It's the poor and middle class. Go to any drug dealer. They do guns. That's like a little side business. It's the poor and middle class New Yorkers, unprotected by doormen, chauffeurs, and ticket takers, who will be the first victims of de Blasio's new ideas on policing. The non-1% live in neighborhoods that aren't the province of multimillionaires, with doormen standing guard every 15 yards. They park their cars on the street, eat lunch in public parks, and attend free concerts, all of which are also open to criminals. New Wave Brooklyn is about to become Crime Wave Brooklyn. Ooh, that is terrible. For a newspaper that claims not to be worried about rising crime rates under de Blasio, the Times sure dedicates a lot of ink to assuring us that it's not going to happen. And if it does, it won't be de Blasio's fault. In anticipation of a return of the glory days of David Dinkins, let me just say this, I told you so. So Ann is saying we're all going to get a beating. It's very sad, very sad. And, of course, you've got the argument, there's too many blacks in jail, we must be discriminating. Yeah. Maybe that's a little affirmative action. Unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. We're in real trouble. We don't want to face our problems. We don't want to face reality. We make believe that drugs is good and that if a girl gets raped, that she was asking for it. Yeah. Unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. Okay, so let me give you another tune. You've been so good. Let's see if we can find a nice, happy tune for you. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Here we go. We're coming up on a tune. That Allentown tune is bugging me, man. I'm going to give you Gypsy Woman.
From nowhere,
through a caravan around the campfire light. A lovely woman in motion with hair as dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a cat in the dark that hypnotized me with love.
She was a gypsy woman. She was a gypsy woman.
She danced around and round to a guitar melody. From the fire, her face was all aglow. How she enchanted me. Oh, how I'd like to hold her near and kiss and forever whisper in her ear. I love you,
gypsy woman. I love you, gypsy woman.
All through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men, waiting for the rising sun. Everyone was having fun. I hate to see the lady go, knowing she'll never know that I love her. I love her,
the gypsy woman, a gypsy woman, a gypsy woman, a gypsy woman.
Hi, you boys and girls. This is Captain Boycott. I thought I'd just share this with you. This couple of lines that are kind of cute, and the subject is entitled "The Lawyer." Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. But could the patient still have been alive nevertheless? Yes, it is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere.
This tune I'm dedicating to all our Jewish friends for Hanukkah. It's a collector's item. It's an Al Jolson tune called Hatikva.
Oh.
Professor that's teaching that in 1974 Henry Kissinger proposed a plan to President Ford. It was in the days of the Cold War and they were fixated on the annihilation of communism. They said we can't annihilate communism, but we can annihilate the communists. How? The more people there are in the world, the more communists there are. So let us tackle the roots of the problem. If we kill the poor, there will be no communists. This was the logic behind Kissinger's plan of sterilizing the women of 13 countries in the world, including Egypt and Turkey. Interviewer, this is a very important piece of information. Let's concentrate. Was it really stated in Kissinger's document that could only be classified by the White House? And the teacher is saying, too bad you don't show the picture. It appears on the first page. And the interviewer says, 13 world countries, including Egypt. I saw that you wrote in your notes. I hope that patriotic people in Egypt will start an investigation into the agreements signed by the Mubarak regime with U.S. aid with regard to this agency's sterilization policies under the guise of glossy slogans such as family planning. Please explain this sterilization to our viewers. They sterilize a woman so she cannot give birth, and the professor said, not just the women, men too. Professor's name is Munir Akash, and Munir Akash is a Syrian-born professor, and he teaches at Suffolk University in Boston. And that's what garbage you people are listening to. When you spend the 25 to 50 grand to send junior to get high university, we're in trouble, folks. Here's another article. This is from Al Hayat. That's the voice of Saudi Arabia. We are in the midst of a regional sectarian war that threatens the national cohesion of countries near and far, especially Lebanon. The Lebanese editor, Ghassan Charbel, wrote that the war in Syria poses a horrific threat to the entire Middle East, since it has sparked a region-wide sectarian war in which Sunnis and Shiites travel to Syria from other countries in order to fight each other there. This, he says, has virtually eliminated the boundaries between countries and shattered their internal cohesion. A conflagration of unprecedented severity that cannot be controlled or contained. Addressing the situation in Lebanon, he lambasts both the Sunnis and the Shiites, therefore rushing to import the Syrian war into their own country, in complete disregard for the threat this poses for their homeland and the future of their children. Lebanon, he says, is beyond the stage of Iraqization. It is witnessing sectarian killings that place it on the verge of collapse and jeopardize its very survival. Lebanon used to be the Paris of the Middle East. How can Sunnis and Shia coexist in Lebanon if they're fighting in Syria? How dangerous is it for a Lebanese from North Lebanon to cross into Syria to fight with the opposition there because he is a Sunni? And how dangerous is it for the Lebanese from Dabeka to cross into Syria to fight alongside the regime because he is Shiite? How dangerous is it for a Lebanese Shiite to kill a Sunni Syrian on Sunni territory, and for a Lebanese Sunni to kill an Alawite Assyrian on Syrian territory? How dangerous is it for a Shiite Iraqi to cross the border to fight a Sunni Syrian on Syrian territory? And how dangerous is it for a Sunni Iraqi to cross the border to fight an Alawite Syrian on Syrian territory? We are in the midst of a regional sectarian war where feelings flow like blood. The problem lies not only in those who will return from Syria tomorrow or the day after. The problem is that the Syria fire is burning away the national cohesion of countries near and far. Those who have crossed into Syria have destroyed the immunity of the border in both directions. They have torn up the maps. It has become clear that the Sunni wants to connect to the Sunnis in the neighboring country regardless of the border, and that the Shia wants to do the same. We have never seen such a thing before. How dangerous is it for a Shiite Lebanese to kill a Sunni Lebanese in Syria and vice versa? The killing fields extend from Baghdad to Beirut to through Damascus. The Lebanese have the right to feel very scared. It is their duty to feel deep consternation. What is happening now is more serious and horrific than the wars of the 70s and the 80s. Seems like the wars go on forever there, doesn't it? Previous wars were of a different nature. Their fires and scope could be limited somewhat, and a regional power could have been called upon to enforce the peace and patronage, even at a price. The present wars are different. They have no limits or controls. If you think that they have no limits and controls now, wait till the first nuke goes off. And all those Palestinians who gave out candy when 9/11 came down think they're going to be giving out candy when the first nuke goes into Israel. What they don't realize is whatever nuke it takes out the Israelis is going to take out the Palestinians too. But they don't care. They don't see that. We are facing unprecedented scenes. It is no simple thing that the Iranian embassy in Beirut is targeted for Iranian involvement in Syria. It is no simple thing for the Al-Qaeda-linked Abdullah Azzam brigades claim responsibility and call on Hezbollah to pull out its troops from Syria. It is no simple thing for the statement to declare the attack was a double martyrdom operation by two heroes of the Sunni sect in Lebanon. So, you can see what's happening. These guys are fighting each other, and it's only going to get worse. When you've got rabbis sitting with imams in Saudi Arabia, you know that the gloves are coming off, and there are no Ten Commandments of love.
I shall never love another.
Stand by me all the while.
Stand by me all the while.
Happiness with the heart aim.
The
I can go to life.
Wearing a smile.
We will be sweet.
That's our show for tonight, folks. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a good day tomorrow. And until we meet again, keep the faith. Love your country. If you can't be with the one you love, well, that's too bad. Take care.